Hello and welcome to the Movies You Forgot podcast with me, your host Adam Richmond, and not joining me as ever, because this is a ticket stub special, part two. He's not joining me, he's Mr. Joe Devine, he's busy, so I just thought I'd do these. This is a lot of fun, silly, like look back at the films I saw at the cinema at a time when I started collecting my stubs. You don't get stubs these days, do you? I did 1999 last time when I started, when I turned 18, and I'm going to do 2000. They'll go up to 2004 with some miscellaneous when I was in Hackney 10 years later in 2013, 2014. I don't know whether we'll do that, but yeah, I'm just going to list the films I saw, and I might say some stuff about a film or I might not. It's as simple as that. And that's what I'm doing. If you don't like the sound of that, then probably don't listen to this episode. There's not going to be any fun interjections. It's just me waffling. I've got a cup of tea, my second cup of tea of the day. I like to brew it for about four to five minutes, and then squeeze, take the bag out, a splash of whole milk. I want a kind of a rich mahogany. And then it's 2 level teaspoons of sugar, and then I'm good to go. I don't really let people make my tea anymore. People don't ask. I think because people, when they ask, "Do you want a cup of tea?" they just want to give you the cup of tea that they've made for themselves, the same one. And I, you know, because I have sugar in my tea, it's a waste of sugar. I don't want to have that much sugar in a bad cup of tea, so I just say, "Oh no, thanks." And I know it's a social, sort of a social greasing of the wheels, offering to make someone a cup of tea. Yeah, I just, life's too short. Life's too short. So we start the year 2000, and remember, at the end of last year, it seemed like maybe I hadn't seen some of the classics of 1999. Now, I don't know how it works when you say, "Oh, the year of 1999 was amazing." If you base it just on, I mean, people are just basing it on the American release dates. A lot of those films, which are, you know, 1999, they came out in 2000 in the UK. So, I mean, that's, what are you going to do? Let's see what happens. And that's Dennis, aka Minnie, there meowing in the background. But yeah, let's just hit the ground running. And we start the year. I'm at home, obviously. So we go to Hemel and screen one, row C. Ooh, yeah, I think that's one of the smaller screens. I'm seeing Mystery Men. I Forgot You Forgot, if ever there was. Ben Stiller's kind of superhero piss take. Good. It's got some really funny stuff, really funny bits in. It's not an out-and-out dumb spoof. It's more of like of an indie comedy. It's not like a scary movie type thing. Ben Stiller's very fun in it. Janine Garofalo is pretty good, and they all have shit powers. And yeah, it's a good flick. I don't mind it. I'd say it's worth watching. I saw that at 12:30. A couple of days later, 5:10. That's the price of the ticket. I saw it at 9:30. I go and see Sleepy Hollow, the Tim Burton flick with Johnny Depp and Christina Ricci and Christopher Walken as the headless horse guy. I thought it was shit then. I've never watched it again. It's not a good film, I don't think. It wasn't scary. Burton's at an interesting time around then. He's making his he's making boffo Hollywood flicks. He's getting the budgets, but I mean, I don't know. And Johnny Depp, man, Johnny Depp. Day after, 5:10, I go and see Dogma again. I finished the year watching Dogma, and I go and see it again in screen 8, L4, at 5:30. I did like to go and see films twice that I enjoyed, and you know, why not? Bit more of Dogma. Those are Hemel movies, and then the ticket stubs change, and I think this must be because then I'm going back to uni after. And it's tough here because it's the ninth. We jump to the 9th of February. This is really faded. And it just says American. Now, I'm not seeing American Pie twice. It must be American Beauty. So that's what I've gone to see. I've gone to see American Beauty at 3:30. And it's £3.90. I really, really didn't like this at the time. It's a shit film. People loved it. Maybe that might have fed how much I didn't want to enjoy it. It cleaned up at the Oscars. It's just a really pretentious film. Yeah, you know, forget it. 2 days later, I go and see The Beach, screen six, for £3.50. I mean, people were excited about this. It was Leo's sort of proper role post-Titanic. I thought it was silly then, and we've done it on the podcast, and it doesn't stand up at all well. Joe loves it. Joe loves that flick. A couple of days later, I'm just going to the cinema a lot in February when I'm in Norwich. 15th, I go and see Toy Story 2, which is the best Toy Story flick. Great stuff. Nothing to really add to that. And then the 18th of February, I go and see The End of the Affair with Ralph Fiennes, Julianne Moore, £3.90, and the 3:20 showing of that. I've got very vague memories of that. I've read the book, the Graham Greene book of the same name. Handsome flick. I should probably rewatch it, you know, see if it stands up. I like Neil Jordan. I like Ralph Fiennes. It's about a man, as I recall, he loves someone and he yearns for her. So it spoke to me. And then a week later, I see The Talented Mr. Ripley. Again, 5:20. I'm seeing these early evening flicks. And, February, what a month. What a month. Talented Mr. Ripley, superb. It's up there. Is it my top 10? At least my top 20. Damon's fantastic. Jude Law is superb. And it's just a beautifully made film. And let's have a sip of my tea. Yeah, I really identify with Ripley, this kind of sad, striving loser who wants to be accepted by people and just doesn't quite have it. So I think that's always what's clicked with me. And then the final shot of that film is phenomenal. Got me into Patricia Highsmith. So and since then, I've read all her books. Yeah, pretty much all her books. She's superb. You've got to read The Ripleys Tremor of Forgery is phenomenal. That's right up there. You've got to get into Highsmith. There's no one better. And then we fly and we spin into March, and I'm going to see Three Kings. Maybe I'm sometimes going to see these films with my mates that I have slowly sort of got some friends in the second term. Yeah, I think I did with Three Kings. That is what's his chops? David O. Russell's best film. George Clooney is on fine form. Ice Cube, Mark Wahlberg's a bit bland, but he's okay. And then Spike Jonze is quite fun in that flick too. Yeah, really good. 2000, what a year. These are some of the films that came out in 1999, and people include them in the great year of 1999, but they didn't come out in 1999 in the UK. And on the 18th, it's The Insider. It's Michael Mann's The Insider with Al Pacino and Russell Crowe. I rewatched that last year. It is a phenomenal movie. It's about Russell Crowe plays a whistleblower, a tobacco whistleblower. And it's just, I don't know how Michael Mann does it. He kind of makes, there's a sequence where they're sending a fax or receiving a fax or waiting for a fax. And Mann makes it the most tense action set piece you can imagine. It's just superb. See that on screen 11. £3.90, £1.30, I'm doing politics for my degree, but I'm spending more time at the cinema, and struggling to make relationships. On the same day, what a double bill! This is what's fun. You kind of go back and you do a double bill. I double billed in The Insider. I see that at 1:30, and then 4:30, I spin right into Being John Malkovich. Screen 13. What a day that was. I didn't particularly enjoy Being John Malkovich, if I'm honest. I didn't quite get it. And but yeah, it obviously struck big in culture. It would be adaptation. That's when I would really fall in love with old Charlie Kaufman, and yeah, to a lesser extent, Eternal Sunshine of the Spotless Mind. And then we're back in Hemel. It's April, so I guess that's when the holidays were. I think that tallies up. 7th of April, row L, seat 24, screen 6, 12:15. I'm going to go and see Erin Brockovich with what's her name? Julia Roberts, directed by Steven Soderbergh, and also featuring an early performance from Aaron Eckhart, Harvey Two-Face. I can't remember a thing about it. It's a forgot you forgot. I should rewatch it, but then I think Joe rewatched it too recently, so we can't do it. And I'm not doing another double bill. 2 days later, I go and see Any Given Sunday, screen 7, £3.60, 5 o'clock, and row J, J8. Row J was a good row, and that's Pacino again. What a year for Pacino. He does the Insider, and then you get Any Given Sunday. And it's a big, big splashy American football flick, isn't it? And I remember the now disgraced Puff Daddy was all Puff Daddy Sean Combs. He was supposed to be the star of that flick. And then he dropped out for some reason. And Jamie Foxx came in at the last. And Cameron Diaz plays a ball-busting owner. And there's big famous inspirational speeches by Pacino. I think, you know, you get like sort of strategists and men in ties watch his big speech and use that to pump them up and inspire their teams. I imagine. I don't know. I'm not one of them. But yeah, I remember liking it. It's a long flick, I think, as I recall. Oliver Stone flicks tend to be long. I think that's pure forgot you forgot. Oh, we could do that. And then a couple of days later, you know, the films keep coming. I go and see The Hurricane with old Denzel Washington. And I can't remember who directed it. You gotta tell me about the hurricane. Do 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 boo. That's the Bob Dylan song of the same story about the boxer. And a real life story about boxer, and then he gets stitched up by the police, of course he does, and he goes to prison. Norman Jewison directed it. It's got Denzel in, and never watched it again. It was pretty well received, and 146 mins. Oh, forget it. I'm not going to rewatch that. Sorry, my wife's just thanks. Okay, so that's Roquet. And here we go. This is where I go and see Magnolia. That was at the Wickham Six. Oh, wait, that's on the 12th. That's on the 12th of... I see that on the same day. This is... I have no idea who this guy is. I go and see The Hurricane in Hemel at 1:30. That's an hour... it's 146 minutes. That's 2.5 hours long. It's not starting until 1:50. So what's that, 1:50, 2:50, 3:50, maybe finishes at 4:30, let's say, 4:30, okay, and then I get a bit of grub, and then what I'm doing is I'm driving to Wickham from Hemel, and I'm seeing the 8 o'clock showing of Magnolia. So, and I'm pretty sure, yeah, I saw that Magnolia, that's with my mate who I'm no longer mates with. We fell out years later. We fell out, yeah, quite a big way. You had to get to Wickham to see a flick like Magnolia. That was still, it's very, you know, that's it is after Boogie Nights, but it was still kind of art house, and it's the 3-hour film, and I struggled with it. I remember struggling with it, and it was only years later when I rewatched it that I thought, oh yeah, okay, I missed it. I didn't get it. I didn't get what was going on, but and again, now the rewatch was years ago. I haven't rewatched it in over a decade, and it's up for rewatch. All right, Minnie. And then on the 21st of May, we're back in Hemel. I guess this is what I would do. I'm back home and I'm going to the cinema a lot, and I go and see American Psycho, Screen 7. And I had read the book. Of course I'd read the book a couple of years before. I think I've read it when I was 15. I don't know what's there to say about American Psycho. It's fully memed now. The business card thing and whatnot. It probably overshadows the movie, which is a shame, but I guess that's the internet. So I see that at 2:40. Again, I'm now, here's a lovely little, I get to see what double bill did I do? Well, I do American Psycho at 2:40, and then at 5:45, straight after, I go and see Kevin and Perry Go Large on Screen 4. And that's the Harry Enfield movie based on the sketch of the same name. Kevin, the grumpy teenager. There's a poo joke. There's a poo joke in there. That was a day of two halves. American Psycho and Kevin and Perry Go Large. It probably shouldn't have sullied the day with that. It's not a good film. Kevin and Perry, I mean, American Psycho is a good film. And then on the 22nd of April, that's the day after, Scream 3 comes out. Screen 6, and it's 5:10. The prices, and I'm seeing it 9:45. I loved the Scream 1 and Scream 2. I thought they were great, and so I was pretty excited for Scream 3. Very disappointed. The killer isn't that interesting. It's set in Hollywood, I think, and they're making the movie. It's meta, but it's a bit blah. Never rewatched it. Why would you? I say that. I go and see Scream 3 again. This time it looks like I went to see it at the uni, and it was the 4th of May. So I've seen Scream 3 back in Hemel, and I go back to uni, and I don't have much going on in my life, so I go and see Scream 3 again, even though I didn't like it. £3.90. It's the 6:10 showing. And now we've got an American here, another American. Now, is this Beauty? Am I seeing American Beauty again? I'm probably seeing American Psycho again. 8:10, Screen 1. We'll never know. The stub is in half. I feel like if I'd seen American Psycho the week before, I'm going to go and see it again. The ABC... The ABC stub, that was in the slightly rougher end of Norwich, as I recall. And I go and see, on the 8th of May, go and see Man on the Moon. If you believe, they put a man on the moon. Man on the moon. Yeah, that was the first time I'd ever heard of Andy Kaufman. Obviously a big Jim Carrey fan at the time. Loved Ace Ventura, Dumb and Dumber, and The Mask. Came out. They hit me in my early teens, and I was big into Carey. And then you did Cable Guy, which wasn't so interesting, and then I completely ignored Ace Ventura When Nature Calls, because I thought, come on, this looks too shit. And then he's trying to be all serious, and I was like, oh yeah, there's some fun stuff in that. The documentary that came out a couple of years ago about the making of, about Carey just pretending like he was in character, is probably more interesting than the movie. Directed by Milos Forman, very good director of Amadeus fame. But yeah, that's probably, Man on the Moon, it's worth a watch. And then on the 12th of May, I go and see Boiler Room in Screen 8. At 11:15, I go and see that movie at 11:15 in the evening. I haven't really been specifying that. That's £3.90. Boiler Room, it's a kind of a Glengarry Glen Ross light. In fact, they watched that film in the film. Ben Affleck pops up in an early scene. Giovanni Ribisi plays... He's trying to impress his dad, and he's a schmuck, and he gets into like selling like phony stocks. I guess it was like ahead of its time, if you think like a Wolf of Wall Street, but very indie. I imagine it's quite a fun little time capsule, if you will. Didn't mind it. And then we're back in Hemel, and it's June. It's the 21st of June, and I'm going to go and I'm seeing Gladiator. Now, I saw Gladiator at uni as well, so I don't have that stub though, because that was why it was a preview. They did that kind of stuff. So yeah, I'd already seen it, and then I go and see it again at 8 p.m. Screen 6, row H. I mean, we've chatted about Gladiator on the podcast. I don't rate it at all. I thought it was silly then, and I think it's silly now. Obviously, great Rusty Crowe, but I preferred him in LA Confidential. You know, that's the Rusty Crowe I wanted. And then to see him do this kind of cod English posh thing, and just Ridley Scott just being so, I'm just not interested in Sword and Sandals. Such is life. And then 7th of July, Hemel, 1:30. Oh, and we've got a double bill coming up, guys. 1:30, I go and see Chicken Run. How old am I now? I'm 20 years old, and I'm going to see Chicken Run. This is what I'm doing with my life. I'm not spending time with people. I'm going to the cinema. Did I go with my sister, maybe? And then for the same day, the 3:40, I'm going to double bill it with Mission Impossible, and I think it's got to be Mission Impossible 2, because Mission Impossible 2, let's double check. Yes, of course, it's Mission Impossible 2. That came out in 2000, directed by John Woo, an appalling film. Row J, though. I'm on Row J, seat 14, screen 6. That's my happy place. Very disappointed. I was big into Woo, the killer, hard-boiled, and all that kind of stuff. And how can you fuck it up? And they fucked it up. Bloated, stupid, forget it. The week following, I go and see The Patriot, old Mel Gibson, back to his old ways, his kind of Braveheart ways. 1:30, screens 4, very long, very boring. I real forgot you forgot. And then bang, swinging next into the next week to the 22nd of July, 1:45, row F, screen 2, High Fidelity. Did see that with some pals. Obviously, had read the book. And, yeah, it's a pretty solid adaptation. A bit Americanized, obviously, of course it is, because it's set in America. But Stephen Frears directs it, at least. And, John Cusack, he's on kind of amiable form, and Jack Black properly exploded him. And, that's pretty good. I liked it. It's always on the streamers. It's very watchable. There's nothing else to say about it, really. And then on the 28th of July, go and see The Perfect Storm, row J, seat 15. It's a good row. Perfect Storm, a very forgettable movie with Clooney and Wahlberg, and I can't remember anyone else. It's a big soggy Wolfbang Peterson. Yeah, they're on a ship and there's a storm. And we're going to spin into the 5th of August. And Screen 6, that's where all the big flicks were. £4. We're still hovering around the 3.90, £4 range. Gone in 60 seconds. This is Nick Cage, Angelina Jolie. Bruckheimer was on a hot streak, really. You know, you could rely on a Bruckheimer action movie every year. The Rock, yes, please. Con Air, yes, please. And then he started churning out stuff like Gone in 60 Seconds. No thanks. A really bad film. Shit action. And then the first X-Men movie comes out. 19th of August. Row J, seat 17. I wasn't hugely into comics, but I wanted to be. Which says everything you need to know about me, really. I like the idea of things more than I do getting into them. I like movies. And I thought that was great. Great, obviously, Mr. Hugh Jackman, you know, announcing himself as as Wolverine. Very solid. Bryan Singer is somewhat disgraced these days, but it was really interesting that he could go from something like the Usual Suspects and then land the X-Men. Nice, yeah, fine. I go to New York, 8th of August. I'm in New York because I got these two New York Cinema Hub stubs. My brother was out there. I go and see Bring It On at the Empire, and then on the 25th of August, and then the day after on the Saturday, $8.50, $9.50. I go and see Scary Movie. That was my New York trip. Scary Movie I thought was stupid. Bring It On I quite liked. That's quite charming. Kirsten Dunst is, she certainly caught my eye as well in that. Scary Movie, that was just packed with references to American ads that I hadn't even seen. Like everyone does WhatsApp now, but we didn't really know about WhatsApp in the UK. So when I was watching that, I didn't realise it was a parody. I just thought it was a joke that they were doing within the thing. It's shit spoofing. Is a Scary Movie. Then we're back in Hemel. I didn't live in Hemel. This was just the closest Odeon that had all the flicks on. My local Odeon was less reliable. Or had it closed down briefly? Maybe it had closed down whilst for a bit. Shanghai Noon. Of this, again, done this on the pod. £5.50, screen one. I remember enjoying it. You can listen to the pod about how it stands up. And then, I mean, obviously, I've said I didn't like Scary Movie, and yet I go and see it again in Hemel. On the 9th of September, probably go with my friends. I cannot remember a single joke apart from the WhatsApp bit. Because I really liked Scream. I think I resented it making fun of Scream. Anna Faris is great in it, though. Of course she is. And then on the 28th, I jumped ahead, actually. Oh, I've missed a bit. I missed on the 28th of August. I saw Snatch, and that was I thought that was fantastic, fantastic fun. And then I saw Scary Movie. I come back from New York, see Snatch, great. Then I do some other gubbins, and then on the 8th of September, I go and see Snatch again because you know, it's a bit of fun. Very quotable, you know. I enjoyed Lock, Stock as well. You know, I don't mind it. Just a bit of fun. And we are back in my ticket stubs have changed. I feel like these are maybe uni stubs. The View, but it's the 29th. It's the 29th of September. I must be going to uni, and I go and see Oh Brother, Where Art Thou. Still not done on the podcast, even though we've promised it. I've watched it again. Love the Coens. Super fun film. Lovely songs. I shouldn't say too much about it. £3.95 to go and see a film in Norwich. Ink's fading a lot on these. It's really tough to see. This is a day, the 21st of September. I'm going to see Shaft. Samuel L. Jackson. Directed by John Singleton, as I recall, of Boys in the Hood fame. Christian Bale's in it. That's plum. Forgot. I've got to make a note of that. Odd. Yeah, just people thought it should do well. It didn't really hit. It felt like it could be sequelized. But yeah, no one really liked it. And then on the 22nd, September, I'm going to go and see Me, Myself and Irene from the Farrelly Brothers. I loved Dumb and Dumber. And there's something about Mary as well. It greatly amused me. I don't know if that one stands up. And so Carrie and the Farrellys again. Hated it. Absolute shit. A really stupid film. No jokes. And then we got 16th of October, Road Trip. One of those dumb American Pie type comedies. Todd Phillips directed that. Can't remember a thing about it. Might make a note of that, actually. Road Trip. Forgot you forgot. It could be one of those films that that Joe is, you know, watched a lot, though. You know? You never know with him. You know, you say a film like Road Trip and it's like, oh, no, actually, I used to have put that on all the time. Funny old guy, his old... So Road Trip, let's pop that down on the list. Pop down Shaft. And then we're hitting... Yeah, this is uni. 16th of October, Hollow Man, from director Paul Verhoeven of RoboCop fame, and got Kevin Bacon and Elizabeth Shue. Saw that with Ray, uni Ray. Grubby little flick, and it felt like it should have been grubbier. Kevin Bacon goes invisible and becomes a little bit of a perv and goes a bit mad. There was some good Invisible Man stuff in that. But yeah, it's like a two-starer. Can't remember a thing about it. Am I going to add that on? I'm going to add it on. Obviously, beaten now by the Invisible Man. Done by, what's his name? I always confuse James Wan with the guy who directed The Invisible Man. He was called Invisible Man. Lee Whannell. Because he's the Saw guy. He did old Lee Whannell. And he also did... He wrote Saw, he didn't direct it. And then here we go. This is in 1999 we had the formative cinematic moment of Fight Club, and this year on the 23rd of October we have me going to see Memento, screen one, 6:25, and yeah, my life was never the same. Again, I don't know what there is to say about Memento, directed by Christopher Nolan and written by him, based on a short story by his brother, Jonah. I've seen it many, many times. I think it's fantastic. And, you know, I just don't think you can get me on it. 18th of November, we've got The Way of the Gun, screen 8, 1:30, Ryan Felipe, maybe, Benicio del Toro, written and directed by Christopher McQuarrie. And I was super pumped for this because McQuarrie had written Usual Suspects. Well, that's in my top 10 films, I'd say, despite the singer factor. So yeah, getting the fact that McQuarrie is getting his directorial debut, it was very exciting. And it's just it's a very meaty crime flick. No one chats about it. I really rate it. It's really good. And I still really rate him as a director. Even though he's spent a little bit too much time in the Mission Impossible universe. A little bit too much time in the Mission Impossible universe, Christopher. Never mind. I really liked it. And it's well worth a watch. And then on the 30th of November, we're nearing the end of the year. And we've got a double bill coming up, guys. It's another double bill. Let's get this straight. At 4:55 for $3.95, I go and see Chopper, directed by, oh Christ, what's his name? I'm going to have to check. Sorry, I haven't been checking. Okay, I've been doing most of these off the top of my head. But I want to get the director right for Chopper, because Chopper's phenomenal. Andrew Dominik, Australian director. He directed Assassination of Jesse James by the coward Robert Ford. And another great flick. Eric Bana as Chopper Reed is phenomenal. It's such a violent, dark, funny film. I'd heartily recommend everyone watch it. And I double bill it with The Way of the Gun at 9:20. So I see Chopper, probably come out, have one of the hot dogs, and then I go straight back in and I enjoy Way of the Gun again. A week after having seen it. That's just the kind of guy I was. And that's screen 12. And I would have seen that with Ollie, I think. Housemate Ollie. And by this point, we're in November, not living in halls anymore, living in a house flat in between, in like in Norwich, in between the city centre and the uni. Ollie, Peachy, and Graham, and Rich, and still very alone, but just about, you know, not lonely, you know. Do you know? And then the 8th of December, we're back in. This is the Aylesbury Odeon, and go and see Charlie's Angels. What a sad sight. And then 15th, we're going to see Meet the Parents. And that was very funny. Laughed a lot in that. A lot of funny jokes in that. Rewatched it. I think it's got a fun little fast thing going through it, and still is really good. Yeah, it's a good laugh, but you know, everything after that, Fockers, Little Fockers, they're all shite. And then I go and see at the end of December, the 28th of December, 4:20, Hemel, The Family Man, Christmas movie, Nick Cage, directed by Brett Ratner, another disgraced director. A lot of disgraced directors knocking around back then. It's a dumb what if. Capra-esque flick. Nick Cage, busy businessman, gets hit on the head or something stupid like that, and then he gets to see what would happen if he'd stayed in his little family home and was with Taya Leone and all that kind of gubbins, you know, that kind of Christmas Scrooge bullshit. And then I finish off the year 29th with Unbreakable, 3:35 showing. And yeah, thought it was fantastic. It's a really great flick. And Shyamalan, it didn't really do well. People didn't like it, I didn't know quite what to expect. And Bruce Willis is on fine form. There's a superb bit with when he's like really sort of discovering his powers, and it involves a swimming pool. You know, you just see that and you think, how can a man who's made this sequence, how can he have forgotten how to make a film and shoot a sequence? Because like later on in his career, you watch something like Glass and it feels like he's got shitter. So again, I don't want to shit on Shyamalan. People do that too much. But that's the end of my year. That's the end of 2000. And it hasn't the year flown by for me. Even though we can't trust it, let's have a look at Letterboxd. What did I miss in the year 2000? And we'll find out. Let's find it. We'll get release date. Did I miss any flicks? I'm going a lot. I can't imagine that I'm going to miss much. Requiem for a Dream. I saw that at the cinema. It's not on my stubs. Almost Famous. I saw that. It's not on my stubs. Final Destination. Saw that. Not in my stubs. I didn't see Castaway. Fair enough. I didn't see Battle Royale. I don't watch that on video. I don't think that got a proper release in the UK. I would have watched it on video a couple of years later. Billy Elliot. Of course I didn't see Billy Elliot. I didn't think that was my cup of tea. Now, Crouching Tiger, I feel like that's going to be in 2001 UK. So don't worry. I do see that. I'm not going to go ahead. Sexy Beast. I see that. Coyote Ugly. I definitely went to see that. That's sad. I didn't see Best in Show. Fair dues. I would have seen that on video the year after. I didn't go and see Traffic. Don't know why. Pitch Black, I don't think I bothered with. Nine Queens, I saw that on video. I'd catch that up with. But yeah, we're not getting... There's nothing huge I'm missing, I don't think. And I do... I'll tell you what I haven't used my stubs for is updating my Letterboxd. I know there's some gaps. Anyway, I'm waffling on. That's the end of my 2000s. And even if you didn't want it, that's what we've got. That's what the episode is. And we've still got 2001 and 2002 and 2003 and 2004. By 2004, my I don't know what happened to 2004, but I haven't kept so many stubs. It started to peter out. I don't know what happened. I think it's because I stopped. I came back to. I'd finished uni, and I came back to live at my family home, and was licking my wounds of feeling like a bit of a failure. But anyway, that's for another time. I still haven't, at this point in time, I still haven't fallen out with the guy. That's not till a lot later. And we probably won't get to that bit in the story, because the stubs, I'm not keeping my stubs when I fall out with him. But anyway, thanks for listening, and we'll catch you later. All right, bye.